Luke 24, verse 49 in your Bibles. It says, behold, I send the promise. Someone say the promise. It's this promise of Pentecost, of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Go to Jerusalem and power is going to fall. It's that power that's going to change your life. It changes the way you walk. It changes the way you talk. Power of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, just a few verses there. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's going to happen today. Verse 16, as people were wondering what was going on, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Them speaking in an unlearned language as God gives them the ability is what Joel prophesied in Joel 2:28 when he says, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Peter continued to preach. And then verse 38, why is this church called Atlanta West Pentecostal Churches? Because we believe and practice the Pentecostal experience like they did, like Jesus taught. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the washing away of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For that promise is to you and your children and to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. From the book of Acts, I'm going to preach from this thought, the plot twist of Pentecost. How many of y'all remember the day that you experienced Pentecost? Whether you were younger or whether it was just a few years ago and everything changed in that moment. I love those old songs. The water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. Don't you remember the day that that fire fell? Don't you remember the day that you let go of your sins and God forgave you and everything changed? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. All old things are passed away. There's a plot twist of Pentecost. And that's going to happen today. Look to your neighbor and say, the plot twist of Pentecost. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. A few weeks ago, as I was preparing for being able to come home and preach to this amazing church that I love so dearly, I started to pray, obviously, about Pentecost Sunday. And God started to deal with me and put this thought of a plot twist in my head. And so I started thinking about plot twist. It's defined as a radical change in the expected direction or outcome of a story. That regardless of what it looks like, even when it doesn't make sense, when the story may be at its darkest point, when it feels hopeless and everything is lost, trouble has been around for a long time, everything changes at the plot twist. Someone say plot twist. This radical change in direction and outcome, it's when God gets the glory out of our story. I want to let faith rise in this place because in a few moments after the word goes forth, there's going to be people that maybe even run to this altar with tears streaming down their face, with their hands raised, praising the name of Jesus Christ. And in a moment, they're going to go from speaking in English, a language that they learn, to speaking in other tongues as God gives them the ability. In a few moments, people are going to run to this side and say, I'm ready to be baptized. I'm ready for my sins to be washed away. I'm ready for all of heaven to celebrate. I'm ready to go from death to life. I'm ready for those dry bones to rattle again because everything changes at the plot twist. Started thinking about life and some of the most famous plot twists, and one is of the Trojan horse. The story, potentially true, is that the Greeks weren't going to defeat the Trojans because of their high walls. So the Greeks hid soldiers inside of this giant wooden horse and sent it as a gift. The Trojans celebrated the assumed victory until a plot twist. That night, while everyone was sleeping, the Greeks came out and burned down the city and defeated the Trojan army. Plot twists are also prevalent in sports. I know it's a sore subject, but halftime a few years ago, Brother Lauren, 27-3, it was victory. And then Tom Brady was a plot twist. Everyone thought that game was done. Everyone started driving home, stop eating the wings, it's time for bed. Tom Brady. We've also experienced plot twists for ourselves. Does anybody remember being younger and asking your parents, can we get McDonald's on the way home? It was an amazing plot twist when they said no. You hang your head in defeat, pouting. Just wanted McDonald's. And then this glowing yellow light hits your face. You see the golden arches. And you're going to get some chicken nuggets and sweet and sour sauce because that's the best sauce at McDonald's. See, some of you on these first three rows, y'all don't know about that stuff because y'all are Chick-fil-A babies. Y'all got bougie in 2026. You don't know about McDonald's. But it didn't happen often that we'd actually stop at McDonald's. Sister Turner, because 90% of the time, what would you say? We got McDonald's at home. My mom and dad would say that. That was a plot twist in itself because we'd go home expecting McDonald's, but it wasn't McDonald's. It was a sandwich or leftovers. It's definitely a radical change in direction. How many of y'all grew up on leftovers? Y'all remember leftovers? It was always a plot twist when eating leftovers. You open that Cool Whip container or that margarine butter container. You don't know if it's going to be stained spaghetti. You don't know if it's green beans or Cool Whip. You just start opening all the containers, and it's a plot twist what's inside. Warm them up. Once again, y'all aren't laughing because y'all don't understand that. Y'all go to Chick-fil-A after church on Wednesday. We went home. This Bible is also full of plot twists in its history. The most notable one is one that we celebrated a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday. I love how Brother Jerry Jones tells the story of Easter Sunday when Jesus gave up his life on Calvary, and for 3 days it was dark. The devil and the demons thought that they had won, and then on that third day, he paints this story that down the hallway of hell, you hear footsteps walking down, and only like Brother Jerry Jones can, they're partying, saying, we won, we finally got him, but then there's a knock on the door, and Satan remembered what Jesus prophesied many times before, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, there's going to be a plot twist, and I'm going to raise it up, and before they knew it, Jesus kicked in the door. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Why? Because God is a God of plot twists. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how broken you may be. I don't care the anxiety and depression you may be facing. There's a plot twist of Pentecost. Everything can change when you encounter the presence of God. Everything changes when you encounter the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The wages for our sin was death, and we deserve that punishment. However, there was a plot twist. Someone say plot twist. When Satan pulls out this list, this accuser of the brethren, trying to tell Jesus what all the things we've done wrong. And he is so proud saying, oh, I know what they've done in their past. And when he pulls out that list to start to accuse you of your past, Sister Kim, and what you've done in your past, all of a sudden he opens that scroll and it's blank. Why? Because there was a plot twist. It's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not a sinner no more because I've been saved by grace. I haven't been in church too long that I forgot what Jesus has done for me. Brother Sechay, I haven't been saved so long that I don't remember when I went down in the only saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything changes. Why? Because it's the plot twist of Pentecost. That's it. Faith is rising in the house. You can go from death to life. Don't listen to the liar, that enemy, the enemy of our soul. You got to listen to the word of God. Jesus has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And it starts at Pentecost. My faith in action is when I obeyed scripture that declares for me to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. On that day, everything changed. I experienced Pentecost. On that day, there was a radical change in an expected direction or outcome of my story. On that day, there was a plot twist. And a plot twist is going to happen today in your life. You have to begin to believe it now. Before the music comes up and we all come to this altar to worship, you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait any longer. Experience this plot twist. So let's look in scripture to understand what experiencing Pentecost and entering into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ means. Luke 24, the verse that we read earlier. Luke 24 is the final chapter of Luke before Luke begins to be inspired to write the book of Acts. Acts records the actions of the apostles. This is the history of Jesus' followers acting what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. Luke 24, 49. Behold, I send the promise, this Pentecostal experience to you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem, and you will be endued with power from on high. Jesus is prophesying about just a few weeks later that there's going to be a day of Pentecost. Pentecost was this feast that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. So 50 days after Easter is when the Israelites in the ancient days would celebrate the feast of Pentecost. But Jesus said, this one's going to be a plot twist. This one's going to be different. This one is going to change history forever. So the disciples followed Jesus' instructions and they headed to Jerusalem. And this is where Luke continues to be inspired by God to write Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This experience that Jesus was alluding to, this power coming from on high and changing their life forever, is what he talked about in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. If you're taking notes, this is a great scripture where Jesus talks about the infilling of his Spirit. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, not simple belief, but faith in action. If you believe in me, as the scripture says, meaning obey scripture, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, God was going to pour out his Spirit, and there would be clear evidence. Someone say evidence. The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus has not yet been glorified. He was talking about this experience in Acts chapter 2. We read in the Gospels that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. And he calls us to follow the same pattern. We die through repentance. See, in the military, if you're marching left, left, right, left, and they say repent, you stop what you're doing. You stop the direction you're going, and you turn 180 degrees around and go the other way. No matter what you walked in living towards, no matter what your direction was when you came to church this morning, maybe this is your first time or you've been coming for a few weeks. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's when you turn from your direction and you go the opposite way. There's a plot twist of repentance. You don't just say sorry with your words. You and I say sorry with our actions. But then we're also buried with him in baptism. Baptismo, this Greek word means fully immersed. It's not simply a sprinkling. I like how Gatorade used to have that term, thirst quencher. If I play basketball tomorrow and I'm extremely thirsty, Brother John, it's not enough for me to just have a bunch of Gatorade around. It has to be inside of me. I might feel the presence of God around me, but there's something radically different. There's such a benefit. It's salvation when you don't just feel it around you, but when God is inside of you. Everything changes at Pentecost. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. This is that plot twist that happened then. It's happened since, and it's going to happen, somebody say, today. 50 days, Penta, meaning 50. 50 days after the Passover, Easter, Jesus tells his disciples to go to Jerusalem and that something new is going to start. This is where we pick up in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place. The upper room probably wasn't as magnificent or amazing as this place, but something that happened there happens here pretty frequently. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and suddenly there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's nothing that I have to pay for because I can't afford it. God already paid that price on Calvary. It's something that I receive. It's not something that I have to beg for. You don't have to beg for it. But when you repent in sincerity and say, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to change my ways, God will forgive you because his word says so. You begin to worship God and praise God, and you begin to just lift your voice unto God, and all of a sudden, eternity changes in your life as heaven touches earth and God begins to give you his spirit, and there's a clear sign. You speak in an unlearned language as God gives you the ability. 120 were gathered in the upper room, and God gave them this plot twist experience. It was the 11 disciples, the newly added 12th disciple, Matthias, Jesus' mother, Mary, his own brothers, were also present according to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They came together in one place for one purpose, Pentecost. As they prayed, God poured out his spirit and they began to speak in that unlearned language. This is the same experience that Jesus articulated to Nicodemus. Brother Jury in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, he says, most assuredly I say to you, except someone is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked a very good question. See, sometimes if you've been in church for a while, you kind of know how to clap on beat and you know some of the terminology. But think about it for someone who's come to a church like this for the first time. Someone over here is jumping. Someone over here is crying. Someone over here is dancing. You're like, what is going on? But you can't deny what you feel is something you haven't felt anywhere else. You've tried it maybe at a bar. You've tried it in finances. You've tried it through career. But in the presence of God is fullness of joy. In the presence of God is peace that passes understanding. In the presence of God, there's hope in heaven. In the presence of God is life and life everlasting. Nicodemus is confused by Jesus' teaching and says, can a man be born when he is old? Does he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus stopped him and said, most assuredly I say to you, except you are born of water, someone say water, and spirit, someone say spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Once again, it's the death, burial, and resurrection. After repentance, you have to be born of water. We have a clean baptism tank. We have robes that are clean. We have clean towels. You can leave in the same clothes you came in, but you can leave with a new perspective, a changed life, with your sins washed away, entering into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But you're also born of the Spirit. It's a supernatural experience when you're lifting your hands or maybe bowing down and worshiping and praising God, and you begin to speak in other tongues as he gives you the ability. Jesus declares in John 3, verse 7, you must be born again. Look to your neighbor and say, you must be born again. See, the apostles followed Jesus' teaching on the day of Pentecost as they were born again. This wasn't something that they just came up with on their own. This was something that they experienced and they continued to preach, and the Holy Ghost fire continued to spread from that day on. Peter preached these words after the 120 left the upper room. People wondered what was going on, and he said the Old Testament declared it would happen, and it's here today. Verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, meaning an act of faith, will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through us obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, we might have everlasting life. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, to Jesus' mother, his brothers, all the people that were there, what shall we do? You're talking about this plot, just what am I supposed to do? And that's when Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because the promise is for you. Look to your neighbor, say, the promise is for you. In Luke 24, Jesus appears to his disciples after Easter when he resurrected, and he tells them about the promise of Pentecost, that they're going to have power. In John chapter 3, verse 7, he prophesied and alluded to it. And the first plot twist of Pentecost happened in Acts chapter 1 and 2. The veil was torn and the Spirit was released for not just the Jews, but for whosoever will to experience. Go to Acts chapter 8. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to him. It's not about just being a part of a church. Yes, that's important, but it's about entering into a saving relationship with Jesus. So Philip preached, and he said, as they went down, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What is stopping me from being baptized? Should I wait till a certain Sunday? Should I have all my family fly into town? No, there's an immediate need for baptism. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Philip was from a different culture of this Ethiopian. The eunuch and him had very different pasts, but there was a plot twist of Pentecost. Everything changed for that man in that moment, because your past does not disqualify you. Pentecost is not an American experience. It's not just a UPCI experience. It's not a white, yellow, red, black, or white experience. It's a Bible experience, and you can have it today. I'm confident in things of God once again, because look around you. You have young and old and so many nations represented, so many cultures, so many backgrounds. What unites us? It's the power that fell at Pentecost. Come on, if you don't want to be divided by politics, if you don't want to be divided like the world's divided, you need to experience Pentecost. You can link arms with your brothers and sisters. They may look different than you, but there's something that unites us, and that plot twist is going to happen here today. But the thread doesn't stop there. You go to Acts chapter 10, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Pentecost is not about being a part of a denomination or a church. It's about being in a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus is Lord of all. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jews, the ones from Acts 2, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How would they know that the Spirit was poured out? Because there's a sign. There's an evidence. It's undeniable, because they begin to speak in an unlearned language as God gave them the ability. They heard them speak with tongues, verse 46, and magnify God. So Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Ghost just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they stayed and continued to preach. Cornelius and his household were regular people. They weren't rich. There was nothing big about them, just unassuming people. They were good people, but they were searching for something more. They had a good life. It was kind of average, but there was some kind of desire that was inside of them. There was a hole in their heart that could only be filled at Pentecost. That plot just was unlocked when the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached to them. It's the same message that Jesus preached in the gospels. It's the same thread that is flowing through Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 8. Jesus' own family affirmed it. The Ethiopian eunuch experienced it. And now Cornelius and his household experiences the plot twist of Pentecost. You may be a good person, and I applaud you for that, but you might have this overwhelming feeling that there's more for you. You're not sure if you're saved. You're not sure where your eternity rests. Let me take you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be born again today and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, because everything can change for you today at Pentecost. You don't have to be satisfied trying to be good in your own power. You don't have to wonder if you're saved. You can receive the Holy Ghost. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. And it starts with repentance, like Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 19. He said to them, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. He said, into what then were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. My pastor was great, and he really did help me grow closer to God. But Paul stood up and said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him. Once again, what's that thread? Jesus Christ. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Once again, there's a thread throughout all of the New Testament church that started on the day of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago. John's followers were doing the best they could do to their knowledge, but God gave them further revelation to follow. Maybe their tradition or their parents or what their former pastor said got them to this stage or this part of their walk with God. But then a preacher preached from the Word of God, inspired by God, and say, take the next step. He applauded and celebrated that they were doing the best they could, but he said, there's so much more for you. There's a plot twist in your life because you're trying to do it in your own strength, but get a part of the strength that only comes from God, and you can rewrite your story. Generational consequences can end at Pentecost. See, I believe, according to Scripture, that we must believe, but everywhere you read that they believed, they acted on their belief. If I'm drowning, I can believe that the lifeguard is going to save me, but I must act by grabbing onto that rescue buoy. I could sit there and be taken in a bunch of water and say, hey, he's going to save me, he's going to save me. And he's trying, he's giving me all the tools, all the resources. He's extending the gift, he's extending the hand, that saving buoy. But I must act on my faith, my belief in that lifeguard. John's followers acted on their belief and they were born again that day. They experienced this plot twist that I'm preaching about. Do you notice this pattern that was talked about in Acts 1:8? It started in Jerusalem, spread to Judea, Samaria, and has continued to spread and will be experienced even today. Well, what about Paul? What about the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament? Paul doesn't affirm the new birth experience, right? He writes letters to the church. Someone say the church. These people are already born again, so he's giving them that second step to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. He's not trying to get them saved. They've already been born again. He's trying to get them to continue in their faith journey, to give faithfully of their time, their talent, and their treasures, to forsake their old habits and patterns of the world and be separate unto God. But Paul experienced the plot twist as well. On the road to Damascus, Paul was blinded and Jesus revealed that he is the one and true living God. Paul was instructed to meet a certain disciple named Ananias. Verse 20, 16 of chapter 22. Now when they were waiting, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, Paul, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul went on in 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would that you all would speak with tongues. In verse 18, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all because I was a rank sinner. I used to persecute the church. I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. But one day, my spiritual eyes were opened because the gospel of Jesus was preached. Jesus revealed himself to me. There was a plot twist, and now I've dedicated my life to making sure as many people as possible can experience this life-changing power of God. Follow that thread. Follow that thread that connects, that string connects them all back to Pentecost. It's this crimson stream that flows. It's that crimson thread that still reaches to the highest valley. It still flows to the lowest valley, the highest mountain, the lowest valley. Wherever you are, your life can be changed here today. Everyone that's been born again has a testimony. And more than just a biblical history, we're in a room full of people whose lives were changed at Pentecost. Someone say Pentecost. I remember in the old sanctuary, Judah Turner, about this part of the altar, he's been seeking the gift of the Holy Ghost for months, and God helped him in a moment. He used to have one attitude, but in a moment, he was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and everything changed, and Judah went on to pray an adult through to the gift of the Holy Ghost at a junior camp that day. Why? Because no matter how young you are, you can experience Pentecost. Sean, it's good to see you back there. I enjoyed seeing you at Bojangles. I remember the day after teaching a Bible study that revelation was sparked in your life. And I love seeing you and your mom come to Atlanta West Pentecostal Church still. Why? Because Sean experienced a plot twist called Pentecost. Kev, I'm so thankful. I can't wait to hang out later tonight with you. But I remember in the old sanctuary, you weren't dancing, you weren't worshiping, and that's okay. That's your personality. And you were sitting back there, and I put my arm around you. We began praying. I love that you send me that song that they were singing when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because everything changed in the life of Kevin Jones at Pentecost. I remember on a Wednesday morning, about 7 a.m., he was texting me and saying, I finally understand it. I need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the washing away of all of my sins. I said, well, Kevin, you can wait till church tonight, maybe Sunday. You want to wait? You want to get your family? He said, no, the Bible says there's an immediate need for baptism. When I see it in Scripture, I need to obey it that day. You can FaceTime my family. You can send pictures to my family. And me and Brandon Marin, about 8:30 a.m. on a Wednesday, baptized Kevin Jones in the name of Jesus Christ. And God is doing great things in his marriage. He's giving him a miracle baby girl. Ronan's doing great things in school. Why? Because everything changes at Pentecost. Brother Wolfram, you used to be a soldier. You used to be a partier, but now you party in the house of God. Why? Because everything changes at Pentecost. I remember Rain at a youth retreat in Gatlinburg when the youth group gathered around her and she was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. She's serving in chips. Why? Because everything changes at Pentecost. Sister Jale, even though you didn't believe this, you practice a different religion in one moment. Everything changes at Pentecost. Sister Jackie, thank you for those Bellini balls. I'm so excited to eat those later. But do you still remember the day when you was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, when you were baptized in Jesus' name? Come on, there was a life before Pentecost. There's the how, what, Pentecost. I repented of my sins. I was baptized in Jesus' name, and I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now there's a life after Pentecost. There was a radical change in my story and my direction. Before, how, now. That common thread is here today. You've experienced that common thread. Do you remember what you were like before God found you? Even if you were raised in church, we were all sinners and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you remember how you used to try to find hope and peace and silence the noise, and you turned to so many different things before Jesus? And then how did your life change? No matter your story, no matter how hopeless, no matter how dark, no matter how long you were in trouble, there was a plot twist. You experienced Pentecost and everything changed. And now you don't walk like you used to walk. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't struggle like I used to struggle. God has rewrote my story. I have a beautiful family. God allows me to help other people. I get to serve in my local church. Why? Because everything changes at Pentecost. Do you remember your testimony? Surely it hasn't been too long since God has changed your life. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now in just a few sentences, tell your story. Why don't you tell them what you were like before God found you? Why don't you tell them about the day you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Why don't you tell them about how life is so much better now because of Pentecost? That's it. Come on, this is a lively church. This is Pentecost. Why don't you look to your neighbor and say, do you remember I used to be a drunkard? Do you remember I used to be violent? Do you remember how broken I used to be? You remember the struggles I used to have? But one day I walked into a church. I didn't understand all that was going on. I didn't understand the music. I didn't know how to clap. I couldn't keep a rhythm. But all of a sudden, something overwhelmed me. And I said, I got to repent of my sins. I got to be baptized in Jesus' name. I got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Does anybody have a testimony? Does anybody have faith that that thread that started on the day of Pentecost still connects to your story? That crimson stream that flows into your life. Come on, how does Brother Jury dance up here a few weeks ago? Because he experienced Pentecost. How did we go from Daddy Doc to an amazing pastor? Because of Pentecost. And God wants to rewrite your story today. God wants you to have a plot twist today. And it happens at Pentecost. So today, we're going to experience Pentecost. You've been born again. I believe that fresh fire is going to fall on you. You've been struggling. Well, today is your breakthrough. Once again, experience that Pentecostal power. Do you remember that day where everything changed? Why don't you have a plot twist today? You might have messed up. You might have not been involved. You might have been doing things contrary to the word of God. Why don't today you make up your mind to repent again? And if you've never been baptized, here's water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Oh, you did good according to John. I appreciate where he got you, but there's more revelation in scripture. Here's water, be baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch, I don't care your race or your background. God wants to baptize you in his name. He wants to give you a new name, a new life. Everything can wash away and you can be made new today. Why wait? Why wait? And then you're gonna begin lifting your voice and praising that name that's above every single name. And then in one moment, our altar team's gonna be praying with you. We're gonna encourage you. We're gonna be affirming with you. We're gonna pray with you. And then all of a sudden, you're gonna speak in an unlearned language, and it's gonna be so undeniable that in 2026 on a May Sunday, I remember no one could take my story away. I know what God has done for me. I know what I used to be. I remember the plot twist. I can take you back to the exact spot where everything changed for my life. If you would close your eyes with me. Ministry team, altar team, if you'd keep your eyes open, as you look around, everyone else eyes closed. If you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as all the scriptures that I read, which is not all of them in the Word of God, that say you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you've never been baptized, that when the preacher puts you under the water, fully immersed, not as a kid where you understand it for yourself, and they said, I now baptize you in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've never experienced that where you were baptized in Jesus' name, with eyes closed, can you just raise your hand really high? Can you raise your hand really high? Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see you, thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hand really high. Eyes are closed, there's nothing to be ashamed about. Thank you, you can put your hands down. With eyes closed, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, as the Word of God says, that while you're worshiping Jesus and making him Lord of all in your life, that you began to speak in an unlearned language, a language you didn't learn. You speak in other tongues as God gives you the ability. If you've never experienced that, can you raise your hand really high? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Really high, really high. Keep it up so I can see. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you'd look at me for a moment, Pentecost wasn't a quiet experience. Now, you don't have to be as radical as other people, but you do have to surrender your will. I have to surrender my pride and ego and lay it down so I can receive what God wants me to have, eternal life, by being born again of water and of the Spirit. And it starts with repentance. So as a church, we're going to repent, and then Pentecost is going to happen. Pentecost was so radical and passionate. Now, not everybody was probably twirling or dancing or shouting, but there were some of that. But they were giving everything they had to God, and there was a plot twist. And so you are going to have to step out in faith, not be embarrassed. You saw how many people were standing up clapping and shouting because they remember what happened in their life, and they're going to encourage you. Kevin, didn't this church get behind you when you were baptized and received the Holy Ghost? Doesn't this church support you? This is a great church. We're going to cheer you on as God changes your life. You don't have to be embarrassed or scared about it. Grab that rescue buoy spiritually and let God save your life. Why don't we all throw our hands up as a sign of surrender? And with eyes closed, why don't you repent? God, forgive me for the things I've said. Forgive me for the things that I've thought, the wrong actions that I've had. God, when I haven't been faithful, forgive me. I confess my sins to you. I'm honest with you, not trying to be cool or act like I have it all together, but I'm honest with you, trusting what your word says, that if I change my direction, not just with my words, but with my actions, if I confess my sins and I make a commitment to live differently, your word clearly states you will forgive me of all my sin, no matter how many times I've done it, no matter what I've done. I can have a before, how, now experience today. I can have a plot twist today. So forgive me of my sins right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, if you were sincere and you asked God in your own words, not words that I gave you, God, I'm sorry and I commit my life to you. God says in his word that you are forgiven. And for that, all of heaven celebrates. All of heaven rejoices. Why? Because you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. That should excite you. You might have messed up last night, but you told God sorry on a Sunday and you've been forgiven. There's a plot twist about to happen in your life because you've been forgiven. But now, Pentecost is going to be fulfilled. If you are one of the five or six that raise their hand saying, I've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, why wait another day? Why wait another day? Church, aren't you excited about someone being born again? Aren't you excited to welcome someone else to our spiritual family? Doesn't that still excite you? I can't wait to watch online next week. What's with the party? This person received the Holy Ghost. That person received the Holy Ghost. That person received the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that was a black person. That was a white person. That was a young person. That was an old person. But what's with the party? Someone went from death to life. They experienced a plot twist of Pentecost. If you were one of the handful that raised their hand saying, I've never been baptized in Jesus' name, Brother Joel and the ministry team is on this side of the altar. You can come over here. You have a private changing room, clean towels, clean water. They can show you once again in scripture how everyone was baptized when Jesus told them, be baptized in my name. And you can go down in warm, clean water. But it's not water that's going to change your life. It's when the name of Jesus is called over your life. And we're going to party. You're going to see people twirling and dancing and shouting when someone goes down in Jesus' name. Why? Because there's a plot twist of Pentecost. You feel that faith rising in the room? You hear those dry bones rattling once again? Do you feel that death going from death to life? Do you see victory starting to happen in this place? Do you feel that plot twist begin to rise up in this place? Why? Because on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his spirit, and that's going to happen